Furthermore, these areas function as export hubs. Therefore, one of their main activities is boosting and supplying domestic products to this end. Over the years, the government has placed special attention on knowledge-based companies while implementing new approaches to support tech parks and their businesses. Some of these initiatives aim to remove obstacles along the path of development of these companies. Other activities involve giving resources to executive branches to further develop the ecosystem of innovation and technology nationwide. Along these lines, the Vice Presidency for Science and Technology has implemented a series of activities. This includes investing some $1.4 billion towards financial services. The government has also created a strategic technology development headquarters. It is tasked with implementing 400,000 tech projects and 150 commercialization projects. But that's not all. The government has also established 65 innovation centers and dozens more accelerators to support the developing entrepreneurship ecosystem. Currently, there are well over 7,000 knowledge-based companies scattered across the nation. These enterprises offer services and products in numerous industries. Many are active in biotech, computer software, agriculture, food, chemical tech, aircraft maintenance, steel, gas, petrochemicals, and pharmaceuticals, just to name a few. According to government figures, the knowledge-based ecosystem accounts for more than 3% of the country's gross domestic product. Moreover, the share of knowledge firms in the country's GDP in 2019 exceeded $34 billion and witnessed a 450% growth since then. That's all according to the Vice President for Science and Technology, Soreno Satori. Right, now it's time for me to take a little break here and hand it over to my good friend out in the field who's prepared a report for us.
In ancient Iran, felt was already used in the production of numerous kinds of clothing, bed clothes, floor carpets, and different kinds of sacks. In fact, the Iranian world may have been an important center for the development of felt technology. In the modern world today, felt or namat has found its way to industries of all kinds in various forms.
You just can't imagine how crowded this place is. Whenever I want to talk on the phone, I have to find a sign-up place to be able to talk to you. It's really crazy. God, in today's chaotic society, stress is an issue that many of us suffer from every day. But what matters most is trying to find the stress sources and try to find effective solutions. For this reason, today I'm here to tell you that I finally found a startup, a new innovative company that has finally found a solution to this disastrous problem. I won't tell you any further. Let's just go and check it out.
Felt, or so-called namat, is the acoustic solution for rowdy places to absorb and decrease undesirable noises. The aim is to provide sound serenity and to improve physical, mental, and psychological health. Namat Studio's scope of work is based on designing and manufacturing products. Recently, it has also played a significant role in different projects like some innovation centers in Asia and Africa. This company has focused on designing and building acoustic products. Generally in Iran, there is no specific competitor in this field. However, there are some groups in America and Northern Europe that are engaged with felt.
If I want to tell you about a history about how our company established, it goes back to 3 years ago when Diva was chosen to renovate the innovation factory of Iran, that was the biggest one in the time. And the designer tried to make the offices and they tried to design a place that the people be comfortable, have a good place to work. That's why we understand that we have some advantages and disadvantages. One of the disadvantages is about the sound pollution that we had in the this area, that places were noisy and the employees didn't like that. That's why we try to use special materials for control this sound pollution. And we reach the felt material and we try to use this material.
Designing acoustic and movable working stations with the aim of recycling old products and reuse them in different functions. What is worth noticing about this business is the fact that the problem-solution method is based upon three WH questions: why, how, and what. Why is to define the problem, how is the process towards the solution, and what is the final product and prototype. These acoustic solutions were combined with architecture in various parts of the space and played the role in sound insulation and creating a silent space.
All right, now I want to walk you through some of the major products that are made of felt. The first piece we have here is an artwork that is made of wool felt that acts as a sound-absorbing material, not only as an aesthetic material that you can put it in your home place, but also as a sound-absorbing material. There is this phone booth. If I get inside, I can feel the private space and how the atmosphere really changes. It improves the acoustic vibes and reduces the reverberation when I get inside. And there's this whole thing, we call it desk divider. It's actually one of the main products in this company. People and employees put it in their on their desk to divide their own workplace with the person right next to them.
We have three different kind of material that we use on our works that absorb undesirable sounds, which are wool panels, or the other name is felt, and in Persian we say namat, and thermofelt and carpet. And the felt are in two kind of industrial felt and the natural felt. Natural felt is made by wools, and industrial material is made by a process by the battles and pet materials. They have different color patterns and thicknesses. The thicknesses are from 3 millimeter to 50 millimeter. And about the thermofelt, we have this material that we can use for more absorption. It has three kind of material with polyester, jeans, and heavy traffic, and it's very good for absorbing. And the last one is the carpet that is heavy traffic that we use in heavy traffic places such as the offices, and it can be cleaned very easy by the vacuum cleaner.
As I mentioned earlier, this idea was created based on the concept of recreating, recycling, and revitalizing the surrounding substances and generalizing this idea to the upcoming products with different potentials. Such small-scale products are intended to improve the mental and physical health of users. And finally, creating a comfortable, inviting atmosphere.
Just like this linear lighting, almost everything here is made of felt. Based on environmental psychology, this linear lighting has been created in a way to provide maximum visual and acoustic comfort in the workplace, especially a co-working space like this. This company, Namad startup has been trying to promote sustainability and also take steps towards industrialization. Among all the products here, there were so many things, but I decided to choose felt laptop case to carry my laptop with me wherever I go. So it's not about the ideas, it's about making the ideas happen. I've been Sarah Dema.
There is so much more that can be said about the country's knowledge-based production and activities. So before we go, let's look at a couple of developments in this area. Most of us are familiar with vitamin supplements. However, some vitamins need to be injected, which can be a hassle. Now, a knowledge-based company has produced an oral form of one of these vitamins, saving many of us from the pain of sticking needles. This pharmaceutical company has produced the first oral form of a vitamin B complex that was typically only found in an injectable form. This company also operates out of Pardis Science and Technology Park. It is also one of the first and largest knowledge-based companies. It might be interesting to know that this company mainly produces raw materials such as probiotic products needed in the pharma industry. Such productions have saved the country millions on imports so far. Knowledge-based productions are driven by scientific discoveries, and Iranian scientists produce roughly 2% of the world's scientific articles. That's according to the Minister of Science, Research and Technology. Mohammad Ali Zulfigol says Iran, on average, registers around 70,000 scientific articles in international journals each year. He says Iran is now globally ranked 15th for the number of scientific papers it produces. Zulfigol noted the quality ranking of Iranian articles in the top 10 fields like technology and engineering. The minister highlighted that the nation ranks 5th in nanotechnology publications as well. The official further added that those publishing academic articles also work in knowledge-based companies, helping produce quality products in the competitive field. And with that, we come to the end of this segment. You can contact us with your thoughts and comments via email. And don't forget, you can also send us topics you're interested in. Thank you for tuning in and join us next week, same time, for another edition of Bazaar. It's bye for now. Until then.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر. السلام عليكم dear ladies from all around the world. Welcome to a new episode of Muslim Lady. Well, today's episode is all a celebration on the auspicious occasion of the blissful birthday of the world's most outstanding lady. فاطمة الزهراء سلام الله عليها.
فاطمة مولاتي فاطمة فاطمة مولاتي فاطمة فاطمة مولاتي فاطمة فاطمة مولاتي فاطمة فاطمة مولاتي فاطمة.
Here in the studio I have Sister Zainab to accompany us in this happy day. Well, congratulations, sister.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you so much. I also extend my hearty congratulations to you, Sister Asma, and to the audiences, and to all mothers, obviously, around the world.
Yes, yes. As Sister Zainab just mentioned it, in my country, in Iran, the birthday of Fatima Zahra Salamullah alayha is marked as the Mother's Day. So congratulations to all the mother out there from different parts of the world. And may it be a happy and blissful day to all of you.
Yes, inshallah. From my end as well.
Yes,
so glad on this day because after all, there's a day which is both named as Mother's Day and Women's Day in Iran. And I was so glad that everyone, when I came here and I saw everyone like going around getting gifts and kind of shows how important you are. Otherwise,
yeah, it definitely is very important. We actually have celebration in different parts of Iran. In all the cities, you can see that. And the mothers are honored in this day.
Yes. And all and the shops are full.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
The shopping is on and really great to know. And there should be a day when mothers are honored. There should be a day when women are honored. And what better day
exactly.
than this day?
What day is better than this very blissful day to be marked as Mother's Day and Women's Day? Well, as you just listened, I recited a chapter of the Holy Book of Quran at the very beginning. And there are different sorts of interpretations upon this chapter. Now, Sister Zainab, shall you tell us a little bit about the interpretations that comes about the chapter Kawthar in the Holy Book of Quran?
As you started with the holy verses and the verse which is so much interpreted that it's about the...
Related to Lady Fatima.
Lady Fatima Zahra Salamullah. Although there are many interpretations that it may be a pond, it may be prophethood, it may be Lady Fatima Salamullah. A number, like there are more than 26 commentaries, what it could be, the word Kawthar itself. But as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Nisa, verse 82, that... Why don't you contemplate? Why don't you do tadabbur in Quran? Why don't you put things one after the other so that you find accordance and sequence in the verses of Quran? Because if you do not find that, you'll say, you'll feel like it's from non-God.
Yeah, that's very true.
While contemplating the verses, we have so much, like we can actually contemplate these the three verses, the shortest surah of Quran. But when we go through the contemplation, we find out how Kawthar can be related to Lady Zahra Salamullah alayha.
Yeah, that's very true. So let's go for a short break, and after that, we will continue discussing.
In the name of Allah, the All-Beneficent, the All-Merciful, indeed we have given you abundance.
Welcome back, dear ladies. Well, you're listening to Muslim Lady. I am Asma, your host, and here with me I have Sister Zainab. And we actually are celebrating this very blissful birthday of Fatima Zahra Salamullah alayha. We started talking about the verses of the chapter Kawthar in the Holy Book of Quran, and Sister Zainab was telling us about the interpretations related to these verses.
Yes, sister. So, in those days in Arab... the person who did not have a follower or a son was called as Abdur, without a follower.
Baron.
It also has different interpretations. Some say that it's without a follower, without a son, without a progeny, someone who has no son, no kids and all. But, pondering upon the verses of Quran, like the third verse, which says, "In nishani akahu wal abthar," means without any doubt that themselves... The themselves are the they are up there themselves. They themselves are without any follower. They themselves are without any prosperity. They themselves are without any progeny. That means pondering on the verses, finding the connection. It says that somebody first has come and told this to Prophet that you are without progeny because
that means you have no son to continue your
because sons in those days or even today. are...
To carry your name.
They carry your name. They carry your mission, actually, your school of thought, even. So when Prophet, peace be upon him, used to, you know, spread Islam in those days, and they were those ignorant people used to tell him that, oh, your job is gone because you don't have any son. So your mission is over. Your school of thought is over. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sympathizes him, condoles him, and tells him that those who tell you this, they themselves are without any follower. Their own school of thought is going to be end up.
Actually, this is another beautiful part of Islam itself. Because, you know, in those days when the Prophet was spreading the religion, all the people of that place that he was living in, well, so ignorant, and they were hostile toward their daughters, toward their baby girls even.
They were buried alive, everybody knows. And then even if someone had a daughter, they were not considered to be like someone who would carry out your mission. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala breaks this stereotype and says that we have provided, we will be providing you with abundance, goodness and abundance. And kosar means goodness and abundance. So many say this goodness and abundance is in the heavens. Many say it's the prophethood itself. I can say that it is all of these.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's Lady Zahra, salam alayha, she is the one who is connecting prophethood with imamate.
So exactly. Actually, what happened is that from a girl, the name of the prophet is going to continue.
Yes, and like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is breaking the stereotype of Arabs that it's not a boy who can carry out a mission. I mean, this is not a very feminist surah as well at the same time, but it is something telling you that you are very ignorant. It's not the sons who can take on your mission. It's even like a girl can carry out this mission.
Can do that mission.
He defines her as a connection between the prophethood and imamah.
Exactly. So thank you for staying tuned, dear listeners. Let's go for a short break and we'll be back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
So, welcome back, dear listeners. You're still with us. We are talking about the verses of chapter Kauthar in the Holy Book of Quran. And Sister Zainab is telling us a lot about these verses. We actually came to the conclusion that these verses are telling us that it's not always a boy who is going to carry on your name. And in Islam, what happened is that from a girl, the name of the prophet has started to flourish.
Yes, it could be much more, and there are so many interpretations. As I said, there are more than 26 interpretations of the word Kauthar itself. But in as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a poetic way in Quran, it is exactly opposite of Abtar here. And the word Abtar, like if Abtar is if it's interpreted as you have no follower, Kauthar is that you have abundance followers. Your name is going to remain there until the last day of judgment. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even provides Prophet with Kauthar, he tells him, now since I'm going to provide you with the goodness and abundance with Kauthar, you also go and pray Salat and sacrifice. And your sacrifice should not be small, it should be a big one. So it's a lesson for all of us. Like if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing us with something, we also got to express our thanks in the same way, in a better way, because here Allah is teaching us that and he's teaching this to his prophet. Like he could have told his prophet, oh, you're dearest to me, I don't need any thanks from you. Like we say, there's no thank you, there's no sorry.
Naturally.
Yeah, there is thank you. Thank you is always there. You should express thank you, especially towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who provides.
The name Fatima itself has got so much of interpretations. It's very beautiful that they say it means separated. And this separation has got to do with the people who are going to come after her. The people that are related to her father's religion.
Yeah.
So that means those who are going to attach to her will never fall into hell. They have been separated from hell.
But why did they behave like her?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Lady Fatima, salamu alayha, if you're referring to her titles, she had many titles. She was called with many names because she was like that. Like if I mention a few of them over here, she was called as Insia, which means that a human being having the best of the qualities, the best human qualities are reflected in this human being. Or she was even called Batul. Batul is a very pure woman who is away from all kind of impurity. So if
it's all virtues.
If on this woman's day, we make a like, if we on this woman day, we make resolution that we apply all these, the meanings of these titles in ourselves, definitely we are going to be
as
among
Muslim
those
ladies,
separated. Yeah. We are going to be among those separated whom she is going to choose on the last day of
judgment.
Yeah. So she was also called as Taqiyah, which again means pure from any kind of sins. She's also called as Habibe, which means loving. She's also called as Hurre, which means a free woman.
Free woman.
But free from what? Free from any kind of lust. Free. She's not imprisoned in her
exactly,
lust. Because a human being has that kind of, you know,
vices inside of them.
Yes. But you should never get imprisoned.
Exactly.
With your lust. So if you're all women, we can, like, you know, learn from her titles how to be, why she was called with these titles, because she was those. She was also called as Huria, which means the heavenly women. She was called as Razia because she was always in a state of consent towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She was also called as Raqia, which means in a state of ruku towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many more names, if we go and ponder upon them and apply them, definitely we are going to be ladies on this day, can make resolutions
exactly
to be among those whom she can select. And I again extend my congratulations to all Muslim ladies out there.
Thank you very much, Sister Zainab, and thank you all the Muslim ladies. I wish you all the best and all the blissful things that might come from Allah. So until another session, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting for something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life.
The world is a very, very big house. Many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up. We must unlock them all today. Throw all the keys away.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, welcome to Mafatihul Hayat, Keys of Life. I am your host, Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created certain days, and He made them better than other days. He made months better than other months. So for example, when you look at the month of Rajab, the month of Sha'ban, or the month of Ramadan, they have superiority over other months. And when we look at the days themselves, there are days better than any other day. For example, we have Yom al-Jum'ah, the day of Friday, or Yom al-Arafah, the day of Arafah. Or sometimes we have nights that are better than other nights, like Laylatul Qadr, the night of Friday, or the 15th of Sha'ban, and so on. One of the days that we get to come across constantly is Friday. Obviously, the month of Rajab is once a year. Laylatul Qadr is once a year. And the 15th of Sha'ban is once a year. Yet, Friday comes every week. So every 7 days, one of them is Friday. Friday is considered to be a day of Eid for the Muslims. A day of celebration. A day where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies the hasanat for the mu'mineen. Where He opens the doors of heaven for them on the night of Friday. And He opens the doors of repentance. As a very special day. I mean, I can't in this few minutes talk about the importance and the merits of the day of Friday. Since it is a beautiful and Eid day for the Muslims, one of the keys of life falls into that day. And that is to keep ourselves clean. Cleanness on the day of Friday, it is as almost wajib, compulsory for the mu'mineen, almost, because when we look at the narrations and the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi on the day of Friday, from how much they emphasized on being clean on that day, you could almost sense that the Prophet wants to say it is wajib, compulsory, but rather, I mean, obviously he can't, but he's trying to say that you definitely, as a Muslim, should clean yourself on a Friday. Obviously, they speak about different things that we need to do on a Friday. Different parts of the body need to be cleansed. So we will look at some of these narrations to see what I and you can do on a Friday to at least follow the sunnah, the tradition and the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, let each of you on day of Friday first have a shower. And we'll talk about that later on. We'll see how important that is. And puts perfume after shower, perfume. وَيُسَرُّحُ لِحْيَةَ And he needs to make sure that his beard is done, you know, with comb, and a person combs his beard. And also wears the most beautiful clothes that he have. If you have clean, new clothes, they need to be worn every Friday. So this is when it comes to the general aspect of the body. On Friday, needs to have a shower, perfume, and clean clothes. Let us take a short break, and then we will continue this discussion.
Ayatollah Javadi Amali, the author of the book Mafatihul Hayat, The Keys of Life. This book, Mafatih, ought to be in two volumes. One volume, the present volume, Mafatihul Janan, is on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc. But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree.
امام همونطوری که این رو گفته بودم گفته دیگه. اون امامش گفته اگر روزه بگیری ثواب داره، همون امام گفته که اگر درخت بکاری اون ثواب داره.
Imam has mentioned both of these subjects. The very Imam who has stressed out the reward for praying has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree. There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment. When growing wheat, take some in your hand and say these prayers. These are what the very Imam has mentioned. We lack this second volume in Islamic world.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Mafatihul Hayat. So we said that Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salamullah, they said that we need to make sure that we are clean on Friday. Imam al-Sadiq, he says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَطَّلِعُ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ لِيُضَاعَفَ الْحَسَنَاتِ For Allah looks onto the people of earth to multiply their deeds. So on Friday, when I shower, put perfume, wear beautiful clothes, and Allah sees me in that state, just looking nice and looking clean, Allah will multiply my deeds. So if I, on a normal day, I pray two rak'ah, Allah gives me 10 hasanat. On Friday, He will give me 20. I mean, I don't know how Allah multiplies and how much He gives, but I'm pretty sure He's the most generous. He's akramul kurama. So it would be something beyond my and your comprehension. So on a Friday, you can multiply your deeds by just having a shower and smelling good and looking good. All right, moving on. He says, من اختسل للجمعة فقال أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. He who has a shower on Friday and he says, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد واجعلني من التوابين واجعلني من المطهرين واجعلني من المتطهرين. That is a small dua found in the A'mal, the actions of Friday in the book Mafatih al-Janan. A person could refer to that. And you can read it as you're having a shower on a Friday. And what happens if we do that? If we are showering on a Friday, reciting that dua, the Imam says, كان طاهرا من الجمعة إلى الجمعة. You will be pure from this Friday to next Friday. So for a whole week, you'll be purified by just saying that short dua while you are performing the ghusl. So it is also important to notice that aspect of things, not just the physical aspect, which is to have a shower, but also the spiritual aspect of doing that shower, seeking nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salamullah, he says, cut your nails on Tuesday and shower on Wednesday. وَأَصِيبُ مِنَ الْحَجَامَةِ حَاجَتَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْخَمِيسِ And if you need to do hijama, take that blood from your system, do it on Thursday. And put the most beautiful perfumes that you have on a Friday. Now, this is also a way where Imam Ridha alayhi salam lays out the days of the week and certain things need to be performed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he says, he who cuts his nails on a Friday, وَأَخَذَ مِن شَارِبِهِ And he trims his mustache. وَاسْتَاكَ And he brushes his teeth. وَأَفْرَغَ عَلَى رَأْسِهِ مِنَ الْمَاءِ And he puts water on his head. حِينَ يَرُوحُ إِلَى الْجُمْعَةِ When he wants to go to pray Salat al-Jum'ah. شَيَّعَهُ 70,000 70,000 angels will walk behind him as he goes to Salat al-Jum'ah in this state. كلهم, all these angels, يستغفرون له ويشفعون له. They ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him and also to intercede for him. So before you go to Friday prayers, you have a shower, you wear nice clothes, you put perfume, and then you walk. Be sure that there are 70,000 angels walking behind you. asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you and also intercede for you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make sure that you are among the people of heaven. Small actions, but they have such great consequences. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Driving past, walking fast to the field of dreams. Hear the children's screams.
There was The Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind. A momentary emotion, space spent in time, in time.
In the limelight.
In the US, thousands of people are without electricity in California as it braces for the next onslaught of storms. At least 6 people have died since New Year, and more than 560,000 homes are without power. We take a look at the US media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The Los Angeles Times has covered the story and tells us more. California is bracing for another week of destructive storms that will probably bring flooding and hazardous winds on Monday to an already battered state. A series of atmospheric rivers that pummeled coastal communities last week and left more than 400,000 people without electricity in California on Sunday will be followed by particularly brutal weather as rivers reach flood levels and powerful winds wreak havoc, according to forecasters. We expect to see the worst of it in front of us, California Governor Gavin Newsom said on Sunday, 8th of January. We're anticipating very intense weather coming in on Monday and Tuesday morning. Governor Gavin Newsom asked the Biden administration to declare a federal emergency in California before the new weather arrives, saying that the most extreme conditions are expected in the first 48 hours of the week. Evacuation warnings or orders were issued in parts of Santa Clara, Alameda, Sacramento, Sonoma, Monterey, and Santa Cruz counties, with forecasters suggesting that swollen rivers could flood businesses and homes. San Jose officials were gearing up for what could be the worst flooding to hit the San Francisco Bay Area most populous city since the surprise flooding in 2017 of Coyote Creek, which forced more than 14,000 residents out of their homes. Water district officials warned of possible flooding in San Jose at the Guadalupe River near the Tamien station of the Caltrain commuter rail system, affecting the Northern Cross neighborhood, Ross Creek at Cherry Avenue south of downtown, and Upper Penitentia Creek near the North San Jose BART station. The Santa Clara Valley Water District on Sunday, 8th of January, issued an extreme weather alert. Flooding is possible in the coming days in Palo Alto, Menlo Park, Sunnyvale, Morgan Hill, and Gilroy, California. Evacuation warnings were issued downstream to 2 full reservoirs in Santa Clara County. The Uvas Reservoir northwest of Gilroy, whose water flows into Uvas Creek, and the Pacheco Reservoir, which empties into Pacheco Creek alongside Highway 152, a main route between the San Francisco Bay Area and Interstate 5. Evacuation warnings in Santa Cruz County include the towns east and southeast of Santa Cruz, including Soquel, Sea Creek, Rio del Mar and Watsonville, which borders the Pajaro River. Monterey County Sheriff Tina Nieto said the Carmel and Big Sur rivers will probably reach flood stage on Monday and the Salinas River on Tuesday. Evacuation warnings were issued along the Carmel Valley, where the Carmel River could flood. Alameda County issued evacuation warnings for the hills east of Hayward and Fremont and west of Pleasanton. Sacramento County issued an evacuation order for the Wilton area along the Consumers River, whose waters breached levees over New Year's Eve, killing three motorists whose bodies were found in or near submerged cars near Highway 99. As of Sunday afternoon, 8th of January, 424,000 customers were without electricity in California, according to the state's Office of Emergency Services. More than 375,000 customers lost their power in Northern California overnight on Saturday, 7th of January, as the latest powerful winter storm pushed through the region, elevating the danger for flooding and bringing intense winds that downed trees. In the Sacramento area, one of the hardest hit regions, wind gusts topped 60 miles per hour and caused many to lose their power, according to the National Weather Service. Utility officials have been working to restore electricity and said it will take some time. Pacific Gas and Electric deployed 4,000 crew members dedicated to storm restoration. Their own personnel, contractors, and mutual aid from Southern California and as far away as Wyoming and Canada. "We're just getting repeatedly pounded by storm after storm," said Tracy Correa Lopez, a spokeswoman for Pacific Gas and Electric. "Flooding is an issue. The number one issue right now is access to a lot of these areas." The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story and tells us more. Torrential downpours and damaging winds left hundreds of thousands of homes and businesses without electricity in California early on Sunday, 8th of January, as the area braced for the next onslaught of severe weather. More than 560,000 homes were reported to be still without electricity in California as of Sunday afternoon, according to data from PowerOutage.us. At least six people have died in the severe weather since New Year's weekend, including a toddler killed by a fallen redwood tree crushing a mobile home in Northern California. Forecasters have meanwhile warned yet another atmospheric river of dense, moist tropical air will clobber California on Monday, 9th of January, with rain and mountain snow. That weather is just the first of five approaching atmospheric rivers, a stream of storms that will continue until about 19th of January, and they will arrive in the state this weekend. An NWS weather alert on Saturday, 7th of January, warned that the cumulative effect of successive heavy rainstorms since late December could bring rivers to record high levels and cause flooding across much of Central California. The heavy recent rains have had a huge impact on the state and caused rivers and streams to overflow and send floods down streets and highways and submerging vehicles, homes and businesses. The storms have also whipped waves to historic heights along California's coastline. Drought-hit California had been on track for another dry winter until the stacked atmospheric rivers came into play. However, most experts believe that California will need a lot more water before the long-term drought could be considered meaningfully broken.
from our imams, the ninth imam is the first, whose imamate began at a very young age, about 8 or 9.
As-salamu alayka ya Abu Jafar, Muhammad ibn Ali al-Barat.
Peace be upon you, O Abu Jafar, Muhammad the son of Ali, the righteous, the pious.
This is Dialogue, a program on the famous conversations of Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm your host Mahdi, and we're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam was the direct descendant of the Messenger of Allah, and he was the ninth divinely appointed Imam from among the household of the Holy Prophet. Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam was brought up in the house of Nubuwa, Prophethood, and Imamat, a house by which Allah had honored the Muslims all across the world. And so Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam grew up in the shade of that honored and noble house, while he received high ideals, morals, values, knowledge, and wisdom from his father, the eighth divinely appointed Imam, who shed rays of light from his great soul unto Imam al-Jawad. Imam al-Jawad's father, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam, himself had undertaken the upbringing, the nurturing, the education of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. And so we find that Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam took Imam al-Jawad with him wherever he went and fed him with his own hands. A divinely appointed Imam, nurtured and educated by a divinely appointed Imam.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's a blessing to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, we are talking about the beautiful dialogues of Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam, the ninth divinely appointed Imam. And so when we look at the life of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, we realize that His Eminence really emphasized these ethical and moral behaviors and qualities. These ethical qualities really that every single one of us should have. And if we were to implement these various akhlaqi and ethical and moral behaviors and actions, and really this way of life that is also known as Islam, that not only on the individual level would we be prosperous, but also on the societal level we would be prosperous and attain this ultimate success, of course, which is living a pure life, living a hayate tayyiba, as it is known as Arabic, this pure and clean and beautiful and perfect life. Sometimes we feel like our life is not fulfilling. For some reason, we don't feel satisfied with what we have. And on the other hand, we have this lack of contentment when it comes to the Almighty Allah. Now, we must keep in mind that if for some reason we have a lack of sense of fulfillment in our life or a lack of satisfaction in our life, this will definitely lead to depression, anxiety, and frustration amongst a whole host of other negative things. So it is best if we live a life where we feel contentment and satisfaction. But now keep in mind, dear friends, that satisfaction and contentment does not necessarily come about by wealth or social status or position or having expensive things or having a lot of things. For there are many people in the world who are filthy rich, but still they do not have that contentment or satisfaction in their life. Why? Because their contentment and satisfaction and their fulfillment is not related to the Almighty Allah. The world, as the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt tell us, is like a mirage. Or in other places, it is like salty water. The more you drink, the thirstier you become, until eventually you become delirious and you go mad. One of the things that we find that Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam has said when it is related to the contentment as regards to the Almighty Allah, His Eminence says that there are three things that take one towards the contentment and the contentedness towards the Almighty Allah. One was to ask Allah for forgiveness often, and the second one was to be lenient, and the third was to give charity. Now, when talking about being lenient, of course, you know, we do take the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt, peace and blessings upon them, singly. But apart from taking them singly and individually, we also have to take them into the context of the Holy Quran and in the context of the other traditions. It is only then where we get a holistic view of what it is that the infallible Imam is saying. Now, when it comes to leniency, of course, we are lenient with the other believers. We are lenient with the other Muslims. We are lenient with the other mu'mineen. Now, this leniency with the mu'mineen and the believers and the Muslims is a command also of the Holy Quran, where the Quran tells us to have mercy towards the believers. We should be lenient with our parents, lenient with our family members, our spouses, our children, our close friends, our relatives. This leniency with others within this framework that I delineated a few seconds ago, being lenient with them will bring about contentment with Allah. Of course, if we are always harsh with the people around us, if we are always mean or rude or cruel with the people around us, especially the mu'mineen and the believers and those that are related to us, our parents, our family members, our siblings, our spouses, our children, that will make our heart hard and turn it like a stone. And a heart that becomes like a stone will never be satisfied. It will never be content with the Almighty Allah. And so being lenient with these certain individuals will bring about contentment. But of course, this leniency is not with the enemies of Allah. For we must always be firm and steadfast against the enemies of Allah, but not towards the friends of Allah. So if you want to have a content life, a satisfied life, then of course be lenient with those whom Allah wants you to be lenient with. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Jawad, alayhi salam.
Parts of Ziyarah Text of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam.
As-salamu alayka ayyuha an-nur as-safi. As-salamu alayka ayyuha al-badr al-tali.